Turn to Romans, a very familiar passage, Romans 8, 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. That's what we'll be looking at tonight, the called according to His purpose. All things work together for someone's good. Here he says that those who are the called according to His purpose. I preached a funeral message on this many years ago. And I said, you know, everybody says, you know, all things work together for good. And then that's as far as they go. And I said, well, just go over one chapter and read chapter 9. All things didn't work together for Pharaoh's good. He said he raised him up to put him down. That's why he raised him up. But for the Lord's people, even afflictions, and this is hard for us, even afflictions work together for our good. David said, here's what David said. He said, it is good for me to be afflicted. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. The Lord gives us grace and He teaches us through these things to trust Him. God's children are described in many ways in the Scriptures. They're described as His children, children of God. They are described as the chosen, the elect, the redeemed. But here they are described as the called. The called. Everyone who is privileged to hear the gospel preached are called outwardly. Most of them old writers used to call it a general call. I thought about when our Lord, I think it was a parable that He told where He bid people to come to the marriage feast. He was going to make the king was going to make a marriage to honor his son. And everybody began to make excuses. And one said, I bought a piece of ground. One said, I bought an oxen or whatever. And they began to make excuses. Okay, now, then He said, well, you go into the highways and hedges and you compel them to come in. My house is going to be full. But those people that were bidden, they were bidden to come. They didn't come because they didn't want to come, but they were bidden. They were called. They were called. In a general way, our Lord said, many are called, but few are chosen. I thought about the man by the pool of Bethesda. He called that one man. Zacchaeus, He called him. Many be called, but few. Very few are chosen. Many hear with their natural ears, but never really hear. Many perish, and they think that just hearing with the natural ear is enough. They say, well, I can recite scriptures, I can do this, and said I've been called, but that's not the effectual call. This call is an eternal call. It's a call that when God calls, you come. Those people make excuses, and everybody does by nature. But when God calls in grace, He makes you willing, you're coming. He just looked up at Zacchaeus, and He said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. Come on down. And he'd come on around. He didn't say, no, I don't think I want to come down. He didn't argue with him. He came. That's what's so amazing is when He called Peter, James, and John, that was an effectual call. He said, follow me, and they followed Him. He called them. He didn't call everybody. He called them. Now, Peter, James, and John, I think it was their daddy was in the boat with him. He didn't call him. You know, you hope that later on maybe God opened up his eyes through his sons. But he called those men. Men hear a general call. And they go on living in their sin. As I read there in 2 Timothy, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Everyone that has ever been saved has been called irresistibly. You couldn't resist. That's hard to explain. It's such a mystery. But when He calls, you hear and you want to hear. You heard a voice you've never heard in your life. When you hear the gospel for the first time, that's how He calls you. He calls you through the preaching of the gospel. Those who are chosen in time will be called by God. And their election and their calling will be manifested by the word coming unto them, not in word only, but in power. Many people hear and they just hear words. But one day, the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. You think about it. It's the power of God unto salvation. God takes what I'm doing right now, the preaching, the foolishness of preaching to save sinners, through an old empty vessel like this, through an old empty pipe, flute, just blowing through it. And he speaks to his people. And it says here, they're called according to purpose. Everyone that's called, he called them on purpose. You think about David's family. All those other brothers, there were seven other brothers. There was eight boys all together in that family of Jesse. Nope, this one ain't him. This one's not him. There any more? Well, there's old David. He's out there watching a few sheep, but he's not really important. Said, you go call him. You go call him. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to eat. We're not going to do anything. But he comes. And he comes, and God said, that's him. God called him. Called him. We're not called because of our wills, but according to God's will. It's on purpose. Men can't do anything in themselves to get God to call them. He calls some, and others he leaves alone. They hear a general call, and it never affects them. They go on in their lives. But it is God's choice. Listen, in Romans chapter 9, over one chapter, verses 16 through 18. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might declare my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Those he shows mercy are the ones he calls. It's mercy that he calls them. In mercy. And he calls them to show them mercy. Mercy. I thought about Warino Mephibosheth. Well, he went and fetched him. He got him. He brought him. He didn't go get everybody. He went and got Mephibosheth. God determined before the world was made who would be called. And he determined when they'd be called. In Ezekiel chapter 16, where it talks about the infant cast out to him and just nobody pitied him. You see, God said he passed by. And you know what he said? He called him, and it was a time of love. That's when he speaks. I mentioned the other day, when is a person saved? When it pleases God. And somebody said they was listening to a message. The first one I ever heard say that was Henry. And somebody else said they was listening to a message by Henry. And that's what he said. Well, when will they be saved? When it pleases God. When it pleases him, they'll hear. And they'll see. And God has determined the means by which he calls people. I know he calls people through creation. And they're all without excuse. But he uses the gospel. As I've already mentioned, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God and the way he has set the salvation of sinners up in such a way that he chose the foolishness of preaching. That's the wisdom of God. Because the world, by human wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You've heard me say, not by the preaching of some foolishness, not by the preaching of some Jesus that wants to save and can't save. That never saved anybody. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. I just quoted verse 21. Now verse 24. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Look around. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble were called. He didn't say not any, he just said not many. Now there's some like Joseph of Arimathea. He was a very wealthy man. He was a prominent man, and there's others that he called. But there's not many. Like I said, Zacchaeus. Mary Magdalene, one who cast seven demons out. Rahab the harlot. And we could go on and on. Those he called. Why did he call David? Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many noble are called. Why? That no flesh would glory in his sight. Well, how did he call? He called you by our gospel. You think men by nature hate the gospel. They hate Christ. They said, I won't hear it. They shut their ears. Don't want to hear it. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted. Well, when did you trust? After you heard the word of truth. That's when you trusted. You heard what? The word of truth. The gospel, it was the gospel of your salvation. It wasn't the gospel of Cheryl's salvation or of my salvation. You heard it as the gospel of your salvation. It wasn't about somebody else. It's when God personally, he did personally speak to you and called you, and through the truth he made himself known. The gospel of your salvation, in whom, there it is again, also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. One more, James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us. How did he begat us? How did he birth us into his family? With the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we're not ashamed of the gospel, that it's through the gospel that God calls sinners. And we leave it in God's hands. I've seen people, let me share this with you. I remember when I was a little boy, you know, was raised in a Southern Baptist church like everybody else, just religious. And I remember my mother's brother was there. He never came to church. He was a Navy man. He retired from the Navy, and he was the average sailor, had a wife in every port, and he drunk, and he cussed like a sailor. That was just him. But he'd come to church one day, and I actually felt sorry for him. He was sitting there about where Carol is. They went back there and they almost drug him up front. And he said, I ain't going. I ain't going. I'm glad he didn't go. But, you know, I'm looking, I'm going, that's awful. You imagine how embarrassing that was. It'd really be something if he'd just told him off. But, you know, that's what men think. They think that you can persuade. I say, if God ever calls you, you'll be running to him. You'll be running to him. And you'll be running from that religion. You'll be like the man in Pilgrim's Progress. He puts his hands over his ears because his family is crying after him. He said, I've got to run from the city of destruction to the celestial city. He said, why can't you stay? I can't stay. I've got to go. God's calling is all about his purpose and grace. Our wills have nothing to do with it. We simply preach the gospel. Declare the gospel and leave it in God's hands. Just like we're saying about Emily or any other children, she's heard the gospel. And you know, we don't know when God allows the seed to spring forth. It's in his time. He said it would not return into a void. And our peace is, it's in the Lord's hands. And we pray that he would call them, that he would speak to them. Listen to this. I think I've put this several times in the bulletin. It's written by the name of John Conder. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, had thou not chosen me. My heart owns none before thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing if I love thee, thou must have loved me first. You know what? You know why that man wrote that? He'd been called. He knew it wasn't him. If he loved him, if God, if you love God, it must be that God loved you first. This call is irresistible. When I think about this, one that comes to my mind is Lazarus. Man been dead 4 days, no question about it. Physically dead. His own sister says, but this time he begins to decay, he begins to stink. And our Lord come there on purpose. He deliberately waited for him to be dead 4 days when he got there. And our Lord loved Lazarus, no question about it, because the sisters, when they sought for our Lord, when they called him, they said, the one you love is sick. They didn't say, the one that loves you is sick. They said, the one you love is sick. And he comes and he goes up to that grave and he said, take away the stone. And he's standing there and he says, Lazarus, come forth. If he had just said, come forth, all in the grave would have come forth. There's one day coming when he speaks, they're all coming forth, some to life and some to everlasting torment. But Lazarus comes forth. You go, why did he come? Because he was called. Lazarus, come forth. And that's what he did. And that's what he does to dead sinners. He says, Cheryl, come forth. And they're coming. Why? He calls because he's God. It's irresistible. He's king. Where the word of the king is, there is authority. You know, Paul described his call. Paul was not looking for the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was looking to lock people up for claiming to believe in this Jesus that he thought was an imposter. And it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, and Paul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, there's something in it. He called him twice. You remember when he called Samuel? What did he say, Samuel? Samuel. Here he said, Saul, Saul. Why did he call him? That was his name. When he said, Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, Lazarus, that was his name. He said, come forth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who is this one that he's persecuting? It's the one talking to him. It's the one speaking to him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Well, he knows this much. He knows he's Lord. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against conviction. What I think that means, me personally, is that he couldn't get off his mind, him standing there and them stoning Stephen to death. You imagine seeing that man, the life leaving his eyes and his body. You can sit into it. And that man believed in Christ. I believe that God used Stephen's message that he preached in, I think, Acts 7, probably to speak to that man. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to shut up this voice. I'll get rid of everybody that lives that claims to be a believer of that Jesus till he crossed his path. I'm the Jesus that you persecute. And he trembling and astonished. Don't you just see this? You know what he said? He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Something's happened. What would you have me to do? It's like when he come to Isaiah, he said, who will go forth? And I said, here am I, send me. What would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And God called him. He said, I'm an apostle born out of due season. You know, to be an apostle, Jesus Christ had to have revealed himself to you in his glorified body. And he did to Paul. It says the other people heard. They may have heard something, but they didn't see. He come that day to single out this man named Saul. And God changed his name to Paul. Here's what he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. And here's that statement I said earlier about it, when it pleases God. He said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. How did he know that God separated him? From his mother's womb, from the time he was born. It's like he did told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet. Saul's mom and dad are going to come together, and he's going to be raised as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and when it pleases me, I'm going to cross his path. And I'm going to make him an apostle to the Gentiles. Why did he do him? He called him by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Remember, he didn't go to the apostles in Jerusalem. You know, he went into Arabia. And what happened in Arabia? God taught him the gospel. And God called him. And he went. You imagine every word that he went. He said, nevertheless, I'll suffer these things. It says in Psalms 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. He didn't say they may be willing. They shall be willing. You know, that's encouraging. You know, if God ever calls them, they're coming. The only thing that distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever is God's grace. We are the called of Jesus Christ. It said that in Romans 1:6, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. As we read in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's a full verse, isn't it? Full two verses. When did he save us? He saved us, called us with the holy calling before the world began. Holy Spirit calls us because Christ redeemed us. Everything about salvation brings glory to him, even the calling. Even the calling. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Well, who are the called? We don't have to guess in the scriptures who they are, you don't even have to guess when you read Romans 8. I mean, we read it, and we know that God has opened our eyes, and he's taught us. And you go, how do people not see? I mean, it's just so plain. Let's read there in Romans 8, 28 through verse 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. They're called because he predestinated them. And whom he called, them he also justified, he declared righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who are they? They are the called. How do we know that God's for us? He called us. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Calling, come, come. Are you thirsty? Come. He said, one day, if anybody's thirsty, come to me and drink. He called them. You know who came? Them that was thirsty. And if you've been out working all day long and hadn't had a drink of water, every one of you would be fighting after this cup of water. Because, you know, that's like the gospel. It's like good news from a far country. To the thirsty. Romans 9:23-24, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You mean he would call those Gentiles? Yeah, he saved a man named Saul, changed his name to Paul, and made him the apostle to the Gentiles. And this man went preaching the gospel to these Gentile dogs, and God called them, and they came. Someone said the objects of election and effectual calling are the same. Those who are chosen in eternity are called in time, and those who are called in time were chosen in eternity. Those who are called are those who have been purchased, been redeemed. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Did you notice he used both names? Called him Jacob, O Jacob, you trickster. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. We are known, we are referred to in the scriptures not only as the called, we are called the sons of Jacob. Fear not. Why do we not have to be afraid? As I done read tonight, he's not giving us the spirit of fear. Now, when someone like Jeff was sick as he was last night, that's enough to make anyone afraid. It is. They said, what time? I'm afraid. I'll trust the Lord. But he said, fear not. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. And you're mine. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. I want you to listen to this verse. I want you to turn there. Zechariah, it might take you a minute to find it. Zechariah 10, verse 8. I want you to see this. It says in Zechariah 10, verse 8, I will hiss for them. Now, doesn't that seem like a strange statement? I will hiss for them and gather them. Why will he hiss and gather them? Because he said, I have redeemed them. What does the word hiss mean? It means to whistle for them. I will cry or call for them. This speaks of calling them by the gospel, which is Christ speaking to them in a soft, sweet sound of love and grace. Someone said, this pictures the shepherd gathering his sheep together with a little pipe reed or a whistle. He goes out there and he hisses for them. He whistles for them. And they come to him. And he says, I will hiss for them and gather them because I've redeemed them. Can't you see David? Out there with them sheep, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they get out there and they're all scattered out. They're all out there. And all he does is whistle for them. And they know who he is. It's like hearing the sound of the gospel. It's just an old empty trumpet till God breathes through it. And it gives a certain sound. And you know what? His sheep come to the gospel. He said, I will hiss and they will come. And they will come. I will hiss for them and gather them because I've redeemed them. And the ones who he's called are those who appear the most unlikeliest to be called, as we've already mentioned. You know, in Matthew 11, as I've already quoted part of Matthew 11, where he said, come unto me, all you that labor. Our Lord in his humanity, there's so many things it's beyond our comprehension, even as believers. But he had been out doing a lot of miracles. And when he preached, he preached to men. And men actually heard Christ preach and still never believed him. He had half brothers and sisters that didn't believe him. Then our Lord said, our Lord said this to the Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. But you've revealed it unto babes. Even so, Father, because he said, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight to do so. How can you explain it? That's what God pleased to do. But then he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he said, you shall find rest for your soul. 1 Corinthians 1:26, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Just look at most of them who he's called. The world would look down on them. They say, oh, they're nothings. And God shows them mercy. He loves them with an everlasting love. He called the publicans and the harlots and old Pharisees. They said, oh, he eats with publicans and sinners. I'd have been glad to be in a publican and sinner. I would have glad to sit there at his feet. You imagine when Mary come in and sit at his feet, you know what Simon said? It was at Simon's house. He said, look at that. He said, if he was a prophet, he'd know that woman's a sinner. You know what our Lord did? He said, Simon, you see this woman? He said, when I come in your house, you didn't even show me common courtesy. You didn't anoint my head with oil. That's what they did. You didn't wash my feet. He said, she's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of my head. You see this woman? You see her? You see this sinner? She came. You think about that. I think they wanted to be around him. The common people heard him gladly. Common people. Just common people. Made to feel like they were nothing. And they said, no one ever spoke like this man. Real, guilty, helpless sinners who are doomed and damned are interested in one thing. Mercy. Our Lord said in John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. You ever remember in school when you'd pick up teams? Did you ever play kickball? I remember in first and second grade you would play kickball. You know, everybody'd stand up and they'd say, oh, I want him. I want him on my team. I want him. You know, then it got down to one that nobody really didn't want. I'd say, yeah, we'll just take him. You know, it really won't matter. Most of us, that's us. He said, you didn't choose me. You think about this just for a second. But he said, I chose you. That you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Let me read you this. Am I called and can it be? Has my Savior chosen me? Guilty, wretched as I am, has he named my worthless name? Vilest of the vile I am, dare I raise my hopes so high? Am I called? I dare not stay. May not, must not disobey. Here I lay me at thy feet, clinging to the mercy seat. There I am, in thine alone. Lord, with me, thy will be done. Am I called? What shall I bring? An offering to my King? Poor and blind and naked, I trembled at thy footstool lie. Naught but sin I call my own, nor for sin can sin atone. Am I called an heir of God, washed, redeemed by precious blood? Father, lead me in thy hand, guide me to that better land, where my soul shall be at rest, pillowed on my Savior's breast. I can't remember what it said. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, all that are in the graves are one day going to hear his voice. And they coming forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life and those that have done good to the judgment of their souls. Thank God he still calls his people. Let's pray.